We are learning the Tzuvot of Rav Avadia Yosef, Shailot B'Tshuvot Yechavedah, tonight Chelek Dalet Siman Memchet. Fascinating for what it says, not practically terribly relevant for many of us, but fascinating nonetheless. He wants to know, and I think he's talking about, maybe some of you remember when this happened, is it acceptable for teachers to go on strike? Is it acceptable for teachers, the teachers' union, to go on strike, a shvita, in order to, you know, get better salary, get better benefits, etc. As a negotiating tool, is a strike an acceptable negotiating tool? Because if you think about it, you're supposed to be working and then you're choosing not to in order to negotiate a salary. So usually the strike happens when the contract falls. So you're not really contractually obligated anymore. Meaning, if the contract has you working until December 31st and now it's already January 13th and you still don't have a new contract, so okay, why are you still working? Well, because you sort of trust that you're going to work something out. But you're under no obligation to do so. It's a little bit different if the contract is still in effect. But is that an acceptable form? Meaning, just expecting, he's expecting you to work, and you're expecting to work, and then you choose no. So there's a Tosefta in Bava Metzia that says as follows. Rasaim bnei ha'ir, lehatznot al amidot, ve'al ha'sharim, ve'al shchar ha'poalim, ulehasi al kitzatan. Every city is allowed to make a takana, make rules, about midot and sharim, about weights and measures, meaning how much things are going to cost and how you sell them, and schara poalim, and on salaries, ulehasiya al kitzatan. What's ulehasiya al kitzatan? Meaning, there's Rashi writes, liknoset haover al kitzat divrayim ulehasiyam midat din Torah. You're allowed to enforce it. You're allowed to enforce whatever takanaim. Now, it's not a halacha. There's no halacha, oh, you have to pay a teacher this, you have to pay a plumber that. There's no rule like that, but if that's what the B'nai Ha'ir, if that's what the people accept, so then, yeah, it becomes the din. These are not things that are halachot. There's no halacha about how much you have to pay. However, when it comes to dinei mamonot, when it comes to monetary matters, there's a lot more discretion. There's a lot more discretion, and plenty of Rishonim quote, they say, yeah, they're allowed to have a, they don't use unions, meaning, the notion of a union didn't exist in the Middle Ages. So the Rishonim don't refer to a union, but they talk of all the bakers getting together and agreeing we're going to sell a challah for $2, which is effectively trying to establish a fair price so that everyone can work above it. Hopefully a fair price. So meaning antitrust doesn't necessarily mean you can't have a union. It's supposed to protect the workers. On one hand, you have to have a balance, but it's acceptable to have a union. And he writes, and therefore, yeah, a strike is completely acceptable because they have the ability to establish the salaries, they have an ability to establish the prices. These aren't in yanim shel halacha. Since they're not in yanim shel halacha, then it's completely acceptable and you can enforce it because yeah, you're allowed to make takanot tzibur, particularly when it comes to monetary. You're allowed to make takanot tzibur when it comes to far more than that. But monetary matters, if that's what everyone accepts, and whether you like it or not, if all the plumbers accept it, this is the state, what are you going to do? That's what they agree to work. Now, if it didn't work out for them, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it, right? It means that this is what's best for them. He points out, just in a footnote, but chutz midvarim sheyesh bahem chayei nefesh, this doesn't work if you're the police officers, right? In the United States also, it's illegal for police officers to strike, or for hospital workers to strike, because that would put the rest of society at a life-threatening loss. And therefore, that would... Now, we're talking about non-life-threatening. He says, but when you're talking about monetary matters, teaching is something completely different. Teaching Torah, Talmud Torah. So there is a loss. You're right, it's not chayei nefesh, it's not the police, it's not the hospital workers, but there's mitzvah Talmud Torah. If you go on strike, you're not teaching Torah. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And he quotes here, and this is just something to think about, that Rambam Bavatra Kapalev writes that Yehoshua ben Gamla was the first person to establish a public school system. At first, the Gemara says, Zachor atah isa tov Yehoshua ben Gamla shmo. She'ilmalei hu nishtakha Torah Yisrael. Without him, Torah would have been forgotten. Why? Shebatchila mishyesh lo av lamda Torah. It used to be, if you had a father who knew how to learn, he would teach you. Mishyesh lo av? You didn't have a father, you didn't have someone who wanted to learn. Nothing. Okay. He tkinis yom ha-shivim lamdeiti nukot v'Yerushalayim. They said, oh, make a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Which doesn't really help you if you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and no one's taking you to Yerushalayim. So he said, that's not going to work. Ad sheba Yoshua ben Gamla v'tikin, shiyom ha-shivim lamdeiti nukot v'chol medina umdina v'chol ir v'ir. You have to have a school in every city. We have to have that. We have to establish schools so that we can educate our children. That's a requirement. And he's the first one that we find in recorded history that really pushed this idea. And the Rambam writes also, Moshevim lamdeti nukot v'chol medina u'medina, u'v'chol t'lach u'plach, u'v'chol ir v'ir. And he says, v'chol ir se'en bati nukot v'ed rabban, machrimim et anshe ha'ir. Ad si moshevim lamdeti nukot. You force, meaning this is the same idea, but in the backwards. We can force people to participate in this. We can force a city to establish a school. Meaning that's how public school systems work, right? Whether or not you benefit from it, your tax dollars go towards it. So Yoshua ben Gamla was the first to establish this idea. Cities, and the Rambam codifies it. This is the din. So if the teachers go on strike, there's no Talmud Torah. So going on strike for monetary matters, that's acceptable. But now you're violating the Nisur. These kids, what are they going to do? If you go on strike, what are they going to do? They're not learning anything. They're going to be walking around doing nothing. And he says, more. And so you'll go on strike, and he says, in this strike, whatever he's talking about, I don't know the history behind here. He says, it's not likely to be a day or two. If it's a day or two, look, they got a day vacation here or there, not great. But if it's only a day or two, okay, fine. But if it's going to be a long period of time, the kids are not, you can't make up the time you missed. Once you miss like a week or 2 weeks, im yom ta'azveni, yom ta'azveka. If you leave Torah for a day, it leaves you for 2 days. You're never going to make up that time. And therefore, he says, this is a big, big problem. He points out, but if you think about it for a moment, whose problem is it? Whose mitzvah is it to teach the children? It's really, really the parents. So why all of a sudden are you blaming the teachers? Don't blame the teachers. It's not the teacher's fault. It's really the father's problem. He's using the teacher to fulfill his mitzvah. So he goes through a whole footnote here to say, no. Once you have teachers, they have a mitzvah. Because the Gemara there talks about, you have a mitzvah to teach your children. What about Ben Beno, your grandchildren? The Gemara there says, and that includes anybody else in the world. If you're a teacher, you have to teach. That's what you have to do. So he says that there's a strike. So we'll get there in a moment. But he goes, if there's a strike, so then the Milamdim should bring the kids into shuls, the schools are closed, and give shiurim during the day. Not in the curriculum, something else. But they should be learning Torah, at the very least. Although a strike is a legitimate halachic tool to negotiate a salary, it's not appropriate at the expense of Talmud Torah. Dr. Sagdu asked, why are teachers allowed to take a salary? It's like anybody doing a mitzvah. You're not allowed to take a salary. Like a doctor, for example, is also doing a mitzvah, can't take a salary. Because so there's two reasons. So first of all, you could be doing something else. If you could be doing something else, I have to pay you for your time. If you're skilled as a doctor and you could be doing something else, I have to pay you for your time that you're devoting to this mitzvah. So teachers are also, are also skilled. We could be doing something else at the time. And so we have to compensate them for their time. But also, the Rambam writes this, and most teachers will agree with me on this. In addition to teaching, there's a lot that goes on in the classroom that isn't about Talmud Torah. Some of it might have to do with like babysitting and discipline and all sorts of other things that have to go into a classroom setting. You get paid for that. You have to get paid for that because without that, there's no Talmud Torah at all. So you have to get paid for the other aspects that go into the babysitting and the other, this extends through high school also called babysitting. Might sound demeaning, but it's true. There's disciplining, there's other things that go into a classroom that are an issue. Alternatively, what about in yeshiva? What about in like a yeshiva where like the guys are coming, they're learning, like there's no babysitting. So I have to take the attendance, you have to do other things, or you have to compensate them for the time at least. They prepared, they could be doing something else, these are brilliant people, they could be doing something else, and so you have to at least compensate them for their time.